come together in your house, and we just pray, Lord God, that you will have freedom to speak to our hearts and that we will have the courage to put into place and to act upon what you speak. We just ask your blessing as we honor you today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Join us as we sing.
Our God and King, His love endures forever. For He is good, He is above all things. His love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise. The mighty hand that outstretched arms, His love endures forever. For the life that's very born. When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings. Blessings, angels will love.
you counting your blessings today? Well, we're going to pray a blessing on the offering as we count our blessings. And if you haven't had the opportunity to give yet, that opportunity is now. And just thank you. Thank you for your faithfulness in giving, supporting missions. We had a great missionary service last week, great support, and just the everyday running events as well. So God bless you for your faithfulness. Lord, we're thankful for the privilege we can give. And we just ask that you will take it and further your kingdom, that you will use the income that comes to bless your community, this community, and your children, and those that have not yet come to know you yet, that they will have that privilege and that honor to be part of this family of God. We just pray your blessing on the offering and each and every giver in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As we continue to sing, you're welcome to put an offering in or use the app or whatever you'd like to do. Amen.
I can see the waters raging at my feet. I can feel the breath of those surrounding me. I can hear the sound of nations rising up. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. I can walk down this dark and painful road. I can face every fear of the unknown. I can hear all God's children singing out. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. Thank you. I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemy. I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. I raise a I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You are here, touching every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, healing every heart. I worship you. I worship you. Darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are here, turning lives around. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, bending every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. 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 Even when I don't see, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working.
Like to have a seat. And if you have emblems in your possession for communion, this is a time where we're going to take to just receive communion together. If you don't have something already, if you don't have one, there's a basket somewhere that's got the emblems. There's up front here. So if you need to grab one, if you haven't received one, please do that at this time. This is a learning experience for us to have communion together in a fresh new way, at least from our understanding. Realizing that every time the Christian church got together, they had a meal, and it was communion every time. It wasn't like we're doing. I don't think there's anything wrong with the way we do it, but it's good to expand our thoughts to realize that every time we gather, especially when there's food present, let's make sure we remember Jesus. Remember what he did for us as we break bread. To know that he died on a cross because of my sins. We have the tendency to get into ruts or traditional things to do it a certain way. And of course, we are typically doing this once a month. But as we open our hearts to remembering about the sacrifice of our Lord, I think it's important that we also prepare our hearts to be sure that we let go of any unforgiveness we might hold against someone. Let go of that. It's not yours. You're not hurting anybody by doing this. You're only hurting yourself. Maybe there's someone that you'd like to pray for that needs a touch in their body. Jesus was the healer as well as Savior. And so let's lift up those who are ailing from sickness, from disease, from cancer, knowing at least one who we love dearly is very, very sick and may be with Jesus very soon, except for a miracle. Think of Larry, my good friend, my brother. I know his heart is ready to meet the Lord, even if we're not ready to let him go. I think of a friend that just passed away this last weekend from COVID. A pastor of a wonderful church in Aberdeen, South Dakota, Gary Weilman, passed away after a long battle. It's one of those things that we're like, what? Why? Why, Lord? Another friend that's a missionary who is now in recovery after being on a ventilator for a long time, over 2 weeks, maybe closer to a month. Adam Tweet is appearing to be recovering. And then here's me that may have had it twice, and it's basically nothing but an annoyance. I don't get that. I don't understand it. But it's moments like these that I know I can come to my Lord, my Savior, and just pray. I know that I need to remember his sacrifice, what it means to me personally, what it means to you personally, what it means to us as a body. But we also need to lift up our needs to him and say, Lord, I trust you. I don't understand everything that happens, but I trust you. And so I'm going to put the guitar down, put in a new mic, and prepare my heart. And as I do that, take the time to pray. Just take this moment to remember, to make sure your heart is right. All that we ask is that you know Jesus as your Savior, and you are welcome to participate. Because we are a family, the family of God. So let's pray, let's prepare our hearts, and receive communion in just a few minutes. Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor Emma, for that beautiful song. We're going to miss you. We are. Next Sunday, we're going to have a celebration, a send-off, grudgingly and sadly for us. But we're going to do our best to be joyful as we say our goodbyes, although we are certain, at least I hope so, that we'd see you from time to time. Thank you. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. The Apostle Paul is giving instruction for the early church who's got some difficulties. They had dinner, they had a meal. The elites and the privileged were getting fed well, while the ones that were not so important were being left out of the communion celebration around the table. And so Paul said, that's not right. Everyone needs to eat and be able to remember. And so he addressed that. He actually goes to the point to say that some of you are so wrong in the way that you participate that you are sick and some have even died. That's serious. And so I think it's important, even though our traditions may look different today, the heart of what we do is the same. To honor the Lord, to love one another. We are all the same. We are all family. There are no such things as elites and lower class. Amen. We are all one together in one accord, serving the same wonderful God. Verse 17 begins the discussion of what's happening, about what's going on. Some are going hungry. Some are getting drunk because they're drinking the wine to such a level that it's causing problems. And now you always start from verse 23 when he gives the antidote to the problem. And that's where we'll start today. I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Now it's interesting as we prepare to pray over this bread that we've learned recently, at least I have relearned it, that the Passover was about remembering their escape from Egypt. To remember the plagues, and especially the last one that caused us or them as a people to sacrifice a lamb and put the blood upon the doorposts as they celebrated Passover so that the death angel would pass over their home. Jesus changed it the day before the official Passover meal and said, when you do this, remember me. So we don't remember in this celebration Egypt and the escape, the plagues, the Passover lamb as it was, but now we are looking at the fact that we are sinners needing a Savior and we need to be forgiven of our sin and we need to escape the judgment of God. And the Passover lamb is no longer the one that has wool, but it's Jesus Christ. And so we will pray over this remembrance at this time. He said when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for the sacrifice. Thank you for all that took place to prepare us to understand better what the cross was all about. With the Passover celebration and what it represented, to be set free from captivity, to be able to become a people that serves under you, was a point and a reference that prepared us for the cross. And now we are here today remembering what you did for us for all of eternity. The sacrifice you gave was once and for all. meaning for those who have come before us and all who will come behind us, who have a faith in you. And so we remember your broken body, the punishment you took that was ours, but you took it upon yourself. Thank you. We ask your blessing on this in Jesus' name. Amen. As you know, you can be guilty of a crime, go to court, have leniency from the judge, and walk away without prison time. Hallelujah. Isn't that great? All of you who've done that? No, I'm just kidding. I'm just teasing. All the kids said, amen. Yeah, that's great. Good news. That can happen. It does happen sometimes where leniency is the rule because there's a lesson learned. Let's move on and be better. But the fact remains, you walk away still guilty. You're still a sinner. You're still one who broke the crime or broke the rule, broke the law. And so it is with us. We may have escaped the punishment, the brutality of the whip and the torn flesh and the death that comes, but we're still guilty and need to be purified. We need to be cleansed from the inside out. We need to become holy and righteous. And that comes through the blood of Christ. In the same way, also, he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And so let's remember that not only were we able to escape the punishment that would bring us eternal separation from God in judgment and torment, but we are also able to become pure and holy because of his blood. A people under the blessing and the anointing of God. Be holy because I am holy, he says. And so we are on this journey of not only the justification, just as if I've never sinned, but we are on the journey of sanctification to become more like him. And this cup represents that journey, the forgiveness of sins and the purity of heart. Let's pray over the cup, shall we? Lord, thank you for your sacrifice that brought us to a place that allows for us to be considered holy and righteous, not because of what we have done, but because of what you have done. Thank you for your love that we have received. Thank you for forgiveness, which is for all eternity, and the purity of heart that comes through you and your presence and your Holy Spirit. We ask your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Before I dismiss the kids, is this a dismissal day? Yeah, just wanting to make sure, keep on the same page. Let's just real quickly go over a couple of highlighted things in your bulletin. And I got a lot of people looking at me cross-eyed when I mentioned we may not be doing the bulletin. That's a future thing. Don't fret. Don't worry. The more up-to-date possible change is the calendar itself. But the bulletin, we'll see how that goes. Announcements. We have a ladies' topical study on the 30th. Be aware of that. Men's breakfast is beginning and are excited to have an opportunity for something for men. And hallelujah. That's awesome. So hopefully we can get a good turnout for that and come and be ready to have good food, good fellowship. Pastor Jason has been part of something in the past and he wants to bring that ministry gifting here. And so I'm excited about being a part of that with you. Oh boy. Now we're going to have a hard time getting them here. Spam. Well, we'll see how that goes. Actually, fried spam is quite good, I have to admit. I do like fried spam. I have to admit that. I'm a salty kind of guy, so there you go. We do have the joyful and the not-so-joyful blessing to have a pot blessing, shower card, and a send-off for Pastor Emma and Greg. We're going to miss them as they move up to Haver, but we're thankful that God has given them to us for such a long period of time. And so we'll pray a blessing on them. We'll have some great food and fellowship next Sunday, October 3rd, and be a part of that, and it'll be a great day as well. Real Gals meeting is there, ladies overnight trip. Make sure you sign up for that. I think there's a place to do so. And Chili Feed and Auction, somebody asked me, where can we start bringing stuff? So that's good news. And so any of you ladies that have an idea where to put the things that need to be brought, make that known. Do we have a place designated, a location, a room where people can start bringing things? Storage room downstairs. Okay. That might work. We do have construction stuff still there, but bring it in. We'll find a place. That's a good place to start. And Real Gal Sunday School class will start soon as well. So there you go. We good? Everything's covered? Kids can be dismissed for Kids Church, and we're going to turn in our Bibles to John chapter 4. I want to welcome all the visitors here that are here today. God bless you. Thanks for coming. You are loved, and we're thankful that you can share in the joy of God with us. John chapter 4, we're going to read about the will of God, and this is a reminder of something we've already learned. I just felt impressed on my heart to bring this to you. It's a little bit different structure, a different number of verses, but a very similar message to what we've already learned in years past. But let's talk about the will of God. And John chapter 4, verse 27 is a great place to begin. Just then his disciples came back. They marveled that he was talking with a woman, but no one said, "What do you seek?" or "Why are you talking with her?" So the woman left her water jar and went away into the town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ?" They went out of town and were coming to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, saying, "Rabbi, eat." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you do not know about." And so the disciples said to one another, "Has anyone brought him something to eat?" Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me to accomplish his work." And that's where we'll stop for now. Lord, we're thankful that you provide us a food that is more long-lasting than the physical of what we can eat with our own mouths and digest with our stomachs. We're thankful that we can have a food that is spiritual and fulfilling. And you are the example of that very thing. We're thankful that we can look at you and see what you have done and understand and learn from you. And I pray that we will all take it to heart to seek that same food, that same fulfillment, to know that we are satisfied. And I pray, Lord God, you'll help me to speak the words that I need to so that we can receive them to heart and apply them into our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to ask you a personal question. I don't want you to answer out loud. I don't want you to raise your hand and have an opportunity to say what you want to say because this is something that only you and God should be working out together. But I want to ask you this question. What was the last thing you did as an act of worship to please Father God? And I want you to think about it for a moment. I'm not talking about attending church service. I'm not talking about singing a song. I'm not talking about giving in an offering. Those things are certainly important. But people who are only religious can do that. You don't have to know God to sing a song. You don't have to know God to come to a church service. You don't have to know God to put money in an offering plate. But if you know him, you live to serve him. And so the question remains, what was the last thing you did as an act of worship to please Father God? When was the last time you put his desire above your desire? That's a challenge. That's not an easy one. Let me ask it this way. Have you ever sacrificed your comfort? Have you ever sacrificed your wants? Have you ever sacrificed your personal plans to do God's will? How many want me to just stop right now? Let's just have a prayer. Let's dismiss. Let's go home. I'm one of them. I'm like, come on, let's go home. That's enough. That's all I can handle right now. Those are tough questions. But they're questions that must be asked, especially in this day. Let me tell you why it's so important. And this is not what I have written down. This is just from the heart. Our culture is upside down. We are turned inside out. Everything that we see, everything that we are told from our culture and from our world is selfish and all about you. How can you please you? What can you do to get more for you? It's all about your agenda, your privilege, your desire, your want. And that is the opposite, the absolute opposite of the heart of God. And it should be the opposite of your heart for Him as well. The sooner you and I realize our lives are not about finding satisfaction or trying to please ourselves, the sooner we will find fulfillment in doing His will. It's a simple statement that I've said many, many times, and I know that it's only been received to a small percentage in a small amount from so many, but this is the facts. Your life is not about you. It's not. The world tells you it is, and you do your best diligence to serve it. But your life is about Him. And it's still hard. And I've got good news, which is actually not such good news. It won't get easier. It might get easier to some extent to certain things when you become more habitual, you know, it becomes almost like habit. It's those things that He brings up without warning. Those are the ones that are hard. It's like, what? God, come on now. That's not the plan. That's not where we were walking yesterday. Why are you asking me to walk there today? And we don't like the surprises. We don't like the change of direction. We don't like the sideways, oh my goodness, I just got hit by the Mack truck feeling. And God standing there and saying, yes, this is my request. This is my challenge. You could even go to the degree of saying, this is my command. How often do you live your life with such perspective that you are not the number one center focus of the daily routine? That's a personal question that only you can answer. How much of what you do is about you, and how much is it about Him? This would be a different world if we all obediently followed that perspective. This would be a different church if we all followed that perspective. This would be a different Glendive community and surrounding regions if we all followed that perspective. And it's so easy to look at the world and point our fingers and say, well, it's their fault. It's what they're doing. It's the bars downtown. It's the demon mascot. That's what it is. Or it's the red devil thing. That's what the curse is all about. Well, I don't drink. I don't enjoy saying, go red devils, go demons. I don't enjoy expressing those words as I support my team and our football program. I would rather say, go Big Red. You guys with me? I mean, you okay with that? And yet, honestly, it's not the Red Devil name that's bringing the curse upon our community. It's the lack of God's people standing up. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will heal their land. You see that? God is the one bringing the drought. God is the one bringing the grasshoppers. God is the... Why? Because of us.
It's so easy to point at the world and say their sin is causing all the problems in our world. It's those political people, and I'm not going to name them. You know what I was going to say or what I was thinking, don't you? I'm going to leave it there, because how dare we blame any political party for our problems when God's word tells it's us? Which brings me back full circle to the challenge, the proposition, the goal. Focus your hearts on God's will, His desire, His goal, His plan. That's who we are. That's who we're supposed to be. It's not about what can I do to get more out of life. It's what can I do to bring more to Him in this life. And it's a challenge, and it's a difficult one. But if you have received the love of God, your number one challenge in this life is to receive His love. If you have received His love, then the natural occurrence should be and ought to be to turn back that love to Him and say, I submit to You, Lord God of my life. Your Father God, Your Lord Jesus Christ, Your Savior, Your friend. Yes, all of those things, but Your Master. And I am here to do Your will. And so the simple points, which are difficult and yet so needed, is to say the first point, and that is this. It begins with how you pray. It begins with how you pray. How do you pray? Jesus is giving lessons to His disciples. Matthew chapter 6. You know the passage. I can name and I can claim in Jesus' name anything and everything I want, to no avail if I have not heard from Him. I read a prayer from a friend of my friend who passed away, who was binding the demonic spirits of the COVID-19 so that he would be restored to health and rise up from the bed to serve His church and His community as God called him. But he died. We've all seen it happen. That's not easy. It's a difficult thing to recognize and grasp and to know that God's plan is not my plan. My uncle, who passed away years ago now, in my opinion, went way too early. He should be still here today, serving faithfully and truthfully and wonderfully. But he's not, because God's plan was different. It didn't matter what I claimed or what I wanted. It happened. He passed. And so what do I do? How should I pray? Well, the Lord Jesus gave us the instruction, not to memorize it so we can all say it in unison and have a good moment, but this is the pattern of prayer that we should take on ourselves. And I'll start from Matthew 6, verse 5, and lead into it. When you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites. Well, that sounds rude. Well, let's take it into context. Don't be like an actor. That's what he said. Don't be an actor. Hypocrite means actor. He's in a place where the theater was the big deal. It was the big draw. And he's using it as an example. We can use the same understanding today. Don't be a Hollywood actor. Don't just put on a good movie and a good show. Actually do what you say you believe. And that's what he's getting to here. Don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. What was their reward? Good job, you look great. Awesome. Verse 6, but when you pray, go into your room and shut the door, pray to your Father who is in secret. Well, can I post it on Facebook? Oh, wow. Oh, stop stomping on the toes now. Come on. But I had a real great breakthrough. I need everybody to know. Well, do you really? Do you really? Or maybe this is a moment between you and the Father, and that's enough. Now, I'm not saying don't bring prayer needs to the fellowship and pray in groups. I'm just saying that there's a heart condition here that we must address. And he is saying, pray secretly. This is between you and Father God. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And it goes on, verse 6, and now verse 7. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do. Well, I take offense to that. I'm a Gentile. For they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. The greatest and most powerful prayer, and I've said this many, many times, the most powerful prayer of miraculous intervention by God through healing came from a 9-year-old that spoke very few words. Dear Lord Jesus, please heal buttons. Amen. And heaven came down and glory filled the room. It was like, whoa, that dog jumped and scared us all. And just like he got out of the bath and we couldn't catch him, we couldn't stop him. He was so healed. It was like, wow, I'll never forget. Didn't come from many highfalutin words. Thus saith the Lord in King James language and none of that. Whoops. Did I say that out loud? I was thinking it. Guess it came out. Pray then like this. Here's a lesson, all. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. I honor you, Lord. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In other words, I'm not arguing. I'm just asking. What's your will? I'm not telling. I'm listening. What's your will? Do you start your prayers, Lord God, what's your will in this situation? Or do you start, God, here's my plan. Honor it. Bless it. Be careful how you pray. Because it begins with that. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. In other words, I need stuff to live. Forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. This is how you pray. It's his kingdom. It's his will that must prevail. His kingdom, the power, and the glory. Not yours, not mine. Years and years ago, I was told by a pastor elder that I respected, and he told me, just so you know, going into this ministry thing, be careful of ministries that have their ministries named after them. I don't know how accurate that's been, but that's something always in the back of my mind. The Kevin Peterson Ministries, that just rings wrong to my heart. Amen? And I'm, maybe I shouldn't even say those things, but this is a real cancer. This is something that's serious that we have to be careful of. When pride gets in the way of God's will, and it comes from us, me meaning pastors, it comes from the leadership, and we have to speak it out, denounce it when we must, and recognize we must seek his will as a priority over our own. I'm so thankful when I pray and ask God what his will is, and I find out, cool, that's what I was thinking. Come on. Isn't that exciting when you're like, yeah, that's what I was feeling too, Lord. Thank you. And you pray with just fervency and just a knowing that this will be. And then there's those times where I'm, well, Lord, that's not what I was thinking. I'm that's not way, you're way offline here, Lord. Come on. That's not right. Yes, I know. Sorry. Jump down Matthew chapter 6, verse 30. If God is going to clothe the grass of the fields, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven,
Will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things. Is that still true? Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first his kingdom. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. God knows your needs. You can trust him to provide. That's the point of it. Put him first, seek his kingdom, seek his righteousness, pray the will of the Father, and he will take care of the things that trickle down from there. Honestly and truly, he does. Seek him. A personal relationship is really what you need to strive for. And he'll provide your needs. Hallelujah. So it begins with how you pray, but then it is shown by how you live. Look at Luke with me, Luke chapter 17. Speaking of the will of God, trying to learn and develop and grow to know that we must live according to his will. Luke 17, verse 5, we'll start there. The apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. I love that. I remember thinking that was possible. I remember a very serious conversation when I was young with my grandfather, believing that it must be easy by now. I mean, you're old. It must be easy serving God. And he basically told me, nope, still hard, still sacrifice, still a challenge. My flesh still wants to rise up. And I'm like, no. No, that's not the way it's supposed to work. Increase my faith, Lord. Make me stronger. We've probably all prayed that prayer. Increase my faith. I don't want to fall again. I don't want to have this heart. I don't want to look at people with anger and with bitterness. I don't want to have an unforgiving spirit. Lord, increase my faith. The Lord said, if you had faith like a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. What? What? It's not the size of your faith that matters. It's the purity of it. You ever hear of childlike faith before? How powerful and amazing it is. I just told you a story of a 9-year-old that prayed the greatest miracle prayer I've ever witnessed. I've seen many things happen. Cancer's removed. But nothing that compares to that moment. And a 9-year-old prayed the prayer. The prayer of a mustard seed faith moved a mountain that day. Why? Because he believed. He heard from God and spoke it. You and I don't need more faith. We need more pure faith. We need to listen to the voice of God and quit letting ourselves be distracted by our own thoughts in this world. You could literally have the thing uprooted and planted in the sea. It would obey you. Will any of you who has a servant plowing or keeping sheep say to him when he has come in from the field, come at once and recline at the table? Everybody get ready for your toes to get stepped on a little bit. Come at once and recline at the table? No. Verse 8. Will he not rather say to him, prepare supper for me and dress properly and serve me while I eat and drink, and afterward you will eat and drink? Well, that's rude. Does he thank the servant because he did what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were commanded, say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done what was our duty. There's a gentleman, a man, that is now before God, I believe, I'm quite certain, yes, Billy Graham. You can say what you want about his one message that he preached for 60 years or 75 or whatever it was. He didn't have to prepare very many sermons because it was always the same one.
Not true, but that's some of the critiques that he gets. But I still remember one of those 60-minute interviews, and the guy was really trying hard to get him to puff himself up and say how awesome and great he was, and he couldn't do it. Over and over and over and over again, I am just a humble servant, so thankful that God loves me so much. I don't deserve his forgiveness, and I'm just so privileged to be able to serve him with my whole heart. Over and over and over, he was humble and just not one to say, yeah, pat me on my back. I'm only doing what God asked me to do. There's nothing heroic here, nothing special here. Now, we all would disagree. We say, well, you're an amazing man. Wow. Look what you've done for the kingdom of God. And yet, he was not seeing it that way. He simply said, I'm just doing what God asks. I'm nobody. I'm nobody. Is that not the heart we all should have? No accolades. No pats on the back. Matter of fact, we do our duty. We serve him faithfully. And God says, hey, I need you to do a little bit more. Go ahead and serve me some food now. And after I've finished, then you can have some food too. How about that? Well, that's rude. That's terrible. And yet that was the point. We are simply called to do his will. And if we're faithful to it, why do we need accolades? Why do we need all the frills? No, we don't. I'm here for you, Lord. That's it. And that's enough. Oh, to have that heart always truthfully, faithfully at all times. Matthew chapter 7. I know I've said it before, that's in line with this thought. We are a hospital for people that need the doctor, Father God, the healer. Amen? But there comes a point in your Christian walk where you need to start coming with the perspective and the desire to say, what can I bring to you, Lord? And walk away from the idea of, what can you do for me? If you're not beyond the what can you do for me point yet, and you've been serving God for quite some time, there's something broken in you. It needs to be fixed. It needs to be repaired. It needs to be given to the Lord on an altar. Yes, we all are at that place at one point where we need God to do something for us. But there's a growing experience in faith that changes to the point of, Lord, it's not about me. It's what can I do for you? Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Now, in and of itself, that verse has power, it has a focus, and it's understood. It makes sense to me. But what's challenging is the following verses. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Another translation would say, you evil doers. How can it be evil to cast out demons? How can it be evil to see miracles of healing? How can it be evil for the things of God to be in that same understanding and that reference? Well, it does become evil when you think the good works you're doing is going to save you. All in the name of God. The scary reality is there are ministers of the gospel that will stand before God on judgment day and he will declare this to them, I never knew you. Did I not preach 150,000 messages in my lifetime? I don't know how many I've preached, but I'm just throwing out a big number. Yeah, you did a good job. I used those messages. People got saved. People got healed. People repented. They grew in their spirit, but you did not know me. In spite of the messenger, I used it for my glory. But you, sir, I don't know. That's terrifying. How many of us are going to stand before God thinking we're good, but we never knew Him? Christianity is more than religion. Prophecies and miracles can actually follow people that aren't even saved. This is unfathomable. This is beyond comprehension, and yet it's true. What is it that we must do? How is it that we ought to live? Well, it says there in the beginning of that reference, to do the will of the Father. Know Him. Listen to Him. Follow Him. It's all about Him. If we all truly lived this way, what would this world be? It begins with how you pray, it's shown by how you live, and it continues until the work is finished. And that's our final point of the reference for this message today. And I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to finishing this thing. This one's tough. My toes are getting kind of squishy. I don't have steel-toed boots. I should get some of those. I will say, if you got steel-toed boots on and the weight is too heavy, it will hurt worse because it doesn't let up. that's not fun. So I hopefully the weight's not too much. John chapter 4, verse 25. This is picking up from our text. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. Whew! That's one of those, now this is the current thing. I won't do it because it'll damage it, but this is the mic drop moment. Boom, walk away. Whew! That's a way to finish a statement right there. We know that the Christ will come and he'll tell us everything that we need to know. I'm the guy. I don't know if you realize how huge that is. He didn't even tell his disciples that yet. And he tells this woman at the well? I mean, what? Are you serious? Well, Peter at one point says, yes, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You're Messiah. And he goes, you're right, Peter. Shh. Don't tell anybody. All right, getting back to the text. So he declares he is he. Verse 28. So the woman left her water jar and went into the town and said to the people, come see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ? They went out of town and were coming to him. That's pretty cool. So big point of reference there. She came to get water and she left her jar behind. Something more important than water came across her path that day. Something that quenched a thirst that had been unquenchable. And suddenly she realizes this is he. Jesus is the Christ. Messiah has come. You all need to come and meet this guy at the well. He just told everything that I've done. Now, you have to kind of wonder about what the people were thinking. Because they probably knew everything she had done also. And there's probably a lot of thoughts going through their mind. One is, well, who doesn't know? But this is a stranger, so that's interesting. And if he knows, why is he talking to you? That would make him unclean, in my opinion, so I got to check this out myself. I mean, what is this guy doing talking to you in the first place? That's not right. But their curiosity was aroused just enough to say, let's go check it out ourselves. And so they did. Jump ahead to verse 39. Many Samaritans from the town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. Whoa! He stayed with Samaritans! I mean, they're supposed to be the lowest of the low. I mean, don't go into their homes. I mean, goodness. But he not only went in, he stayed. And he stayed at least a couple days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world." Oh, man, that's exciting. That's so cool. Something shifted in her heart. Something happened in her heart. And she realized, I don't need water. I need him. I don't need to talk about what was at the well for the water source. He is the living one. He is the one that produces and provides living water for all eternity. You all need to come and see this guy so that you too can have the same message of salvation given to you. The gospel was being preached. You need to come and hear it. John chapter 19. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said, "To the fulfillment of Scripture, I thirst." A jar full of sour wine stood there, so they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Not long before this, he was praying in a garden, overwhelmed with the sins of the world and what the Father was asking of him. And he literally cries out to Father God, "If there's any other way, if there's any other path that we can get to this place so your children can be saved, if there's any other way to fulfill what I'm here for, may it be, but not my will, yours be done. Not my will, Father God. I will do as you ask. You need to do this. You need to finish the work." "Yes, Father God, I will." And he did. "It is finished." You do not get to a place in your life where you're no longer serving the will of God. It never happens. If you're faithful to the call of God, it will continue until you too say with your last dying breath, "It is finished." The call may change, the specificness of it will. But the will of God will always stand supreme. I want to encourage you to fulfill his call in your life, whatever that means. I know that it's not easy. I know that I have to die to my own selfishness often, more often than I should. And yet, it's true. Every day, what Jesus says is still the truth for me. I have to take up that cross again. Can I just do it once every other day, Lord? Maybe just Sunday morning. How about that? That sounds like a good deal. Or how about, let's go, I don't know, Sunday, Wednesday. I like weekends. No, that doesn't work for me. Yeah, Sunday and Wednesday, those are good church days. How about that? No, you mean every day, Lord? Every single day? How long till I die? Yeah. Okay. Okay. It should get easier. And I think it will. But it seems like as one thing gets easier, he brings something else. And it's hard again. But you know what? That's okay. It's okay. I'm going to close with 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11 through 16. But as for you, O man of God, flee these things. What are these things? Well, you'll have to read that on your own. It's all kinds of garbage from the world. Don't just turn away from it. Run from it. You'll do better. Flee all these things. And on the flip side of that, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I charge you in the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who is his testimony before Pontius Pilate and the good confession, to keep the commandment unstained and free from reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will display at the proper time. He who is the blessed and the only sovereign, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, who dwells in the unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see, to him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. Keep his commands. Pursue him. Pursue him. His righteousness. All of those things we read. Would you stand with me as we close? Our natural humanity is selfish. I think guys especially. I know maybe it sounds like I'm picking on guys, but I do think it's something we have to overcome at a greater degree than the women that serve the Lord with us. God has gifted women with a compassionate, giving, motherly instinct that we lack. And so I think there's times where it may appear, it may not be so, but it appears as if the battle of putting God first is easier for them. I don't know if that's true, because I'm not able to experience it. But I do know as a guy, I'm terribly selfish. Terribly. And it's difficult to constantly crucify it. But it must be done. We all like routine. We like things to be in order, especially if you have tendencies to lean towards perfection. And then God comes in and messes your hair, and it's like, what? We like things tidy. We like it comfortable. We don't want to be pushed out of our comfort zones. We naturally avoid difficult circumstances, if at all possible. If it's hard, we're going to go another path. We think we need to find fulfillment by pleasing our flesh. Solomon tried it. He called it a chasing after the wind. I don't know if you've ever tried it, but being me, I did. I was a kid, at least, because I've done things as adults that I'm not sure I should share. But just for fun, one day I thought, I'll chase the wind too. Nope, couldn't catch it. That's dumb. Well, that's what it is if you're trying to please yourself. You'll never catch it. It's always going to be just in front of you. You're like the donkey with the carrot on the stick. Can't quite get there. The purpose of life can be summed up, according to Solomon, by having a healthy fear of God and living to keep up his commands. I'll say it this way. Do the will of God. Lord, thank you for the challenge. Each and every one of us has a different call. We are individuals with specific personalities, with unique relationships to you. Some of what we do will be done together because we're a family. But there are some things that are not for family, they are for individual. Whatever you're calling us to, I pray, God, we will have the courage to say yes to do your will, to seek your face, to accomplish what you've had prepared in advance for us to do. I pray your anointing on each and every one, those who are here present in person, those who are listening online, those who may listen in the future. May we be faithful to the call to do your will. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.